It's good to be back. It's good to see you all, and it's nice to be back down in sunny Ayrshire on what is a nice sunny weekend. Let's pray just as we come to God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your gospel, which is life to everyone that would accept it. We thank you for your word, which is good news to every person that would grab hold of it and love it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love towards us and for your grace towards us. And Father, as we look at your word this morning, would you show us your grace and would you show us your love? And would it minister into our hearts? And Father, would your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if any of you have... thank you so much. How well I am looked after. I don't know if any of you remember when you were growing up doing treasure hunts. Right? I used to love doing treasure hunts. My gran used to come up with this big, massive, elaborate treasure hunt for us at Christmas. She would make out of huge, big cardboard boxes this long train that would go the whole length of the living room. And the outside of it would all be decorated with windows and everything else. And you would crawl in one end of the train and you would crawl through the boxes and it would be filled with bits of scrunched up paper and all that kind of stuff. And you would rummage your way through. And as you went through, there would be your Christmas presents inside the train. It was just, I'm giving you loads of ideas in advance, parents. It was just so much fun. It's actually more of a grandparent job, actually. Grandparents have got time for that kind of stuff. But it was so much fun. You would delve through this big, massive train, find all these presents, and as a child, you do what kids do best, which is when you find a bit of scrunched up paper that's of no worth to you at all, it just gets flung away in the corner as you charge on through looking for the present that you're trying to search for. Right at the end of it all is that bit of treasure that you have been searching for and longing for, and finding it is all the more valuable. So this morning, we're going to see just how valuable the gospel is and how it costs us, both for those who believe in it and for those that don't. And we're going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 13. So if you've got your Bibles with you, Matthew 13, they'll come up on the screen as well as we go through. I need to turn this on, don't I? There we go. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to him, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Well, as we think this morning a little bit about the value of the kingdom of heaven, we see here in our passage, it has been described as something that is beyond our wildest dreams, something that you can't even put a price on. I don't know if you remember, I've not seen these adverts in a while, but there was MasterCard adverts for a while that showed different things that were going on. There was a Christmas one a couple of years ago, and it showed people flying home at Christmas time, and it came up on the screen, you know, like flight from Cape Town, £650, and flight from New York, you know, £300 or whatever. And then at the end, it cut off to the arrivals lounge of the airport, and the families were coming off the flights and were reunited with their loved ones, and it was all embraces and cuddles, and everybody was so happy, and it came across, you know, being with your loved ones at Christmas, priceless. We know that there's some stuff in life you just can't put a price on. There's some stuff in life that just has value beyond what we can, you know, assign in terms of money. It goes beyond our wildest dreams. It's so valuable you can't put a price on it. And so it brings great delight and joy and satisfaction when we find it. And what we find here is that as Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, when he's teaching about what it is to be a follower of Jesus, he describes it in these kind of ways. He describes it as something that is utterly priceless. And the first parable describes a man who simply unearths the treasure, almost by accident. You see there, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He almost comes across it by accident. In the second one, we find a merchant who's in search of fine pearls. You see, in the first, the person just comes across this thing by sheer accident, really. And in another situation, there's somebody who's searching for it and looking for it and longing for it and eventually finds it. I don't know how it was when you came to faith. When I came to faith, I fell into that first category. I wasn't really searching for Jesus. I wasn't really searching for the gospel. But I almost came upon it by accident. I ended up in a youth group at church. I had grown up in church, but I'd walked away from it in my teenage years. I ended up going back to it as a teenager and going along to a youth group, hands up, you know, young guy and all that kind of stuff, mainly because there were girls in the youth group that, you know, now ended up marrying one of them, so it all worked out okay. But, you know, there was motivation beyond simply finding out about Jesus and going to the youth group. But there, I heard about the gospel. And I heard about the good news of Jesus Christ, and I heard about all that Jesus has done for me on Calvary's cross, how he came and suffered and died and bled for me, and how he rose again 3 days later, and how he is victorious over sin. And at first, I didn't want anything to do with it, because I thought, I've heard this all before. And I thought, this is just nice little stories that I grew up with, and I thought, I'm 16, and I know so much better. But, you know, I kept on going to that youth group and I kept on hearing about Jesus. And one day, as I heard what I had heard so many times before, that one day it just hit me that actually I did need this Savior, that actually I did need to hear this gospel. And even though I had heard this so many times before, suddenly in that moment, this thing that I had counted as worthless actually became the most precious thing I had heard. And so I grabbed hold of it. For other people, you might be finding yourself in that situation where you didn't hear about the gospel just because you happened to be in the right place at the right time, but you went searching for something. You didn't really know what it was you were searching for, but you went searching for hope or for joy or for a satisfaction that the rest of the world wasn't offering. Maybe you find yourself today in the situation where you've been, you know, out and you in the world and you're finding that your job's just not giving you the satisfaction you thought it might, or maybe even good stuff that you've got, like your family are great and you love them dearly and everything else, but they just are not providing you with all the joy and all the hope and all the satisfaction that you thought it might. Maybe there's other parts of your life that you look at and you just think, I'm longing for more. I just want there to be more to this life than what I'm experiencing at the moment. And as you search for something else, the gospel comes to you today, and the gospel says that Jesus Christ loves you with an everlasting love, and that Jesus Christ has died to save you, and that he has come to offer you citizenship in the most valuable place in the world, in his kingdom. He's coming with a gospel that is so valuable and so precious that there is nothing else in this world that you can find that will top it. And as we find here, the man goes and he buys the whole field just so he can get the rights to that treasure. And the merchant finds that one pearl of value and he goes and he sells everything he has in order to get it. Do you know, there's some things in life that we would probably give up everything for. There's not much, but there's some things in life we would probably give up everything for. And when you think about what it is in life that you would give up everything for, actually, it's probably not stuff. If I stood outside with a brand new car and said, you know, if you sell everything you've got, give up your house, give up everything you've got, and I'll give you the keys to the car, most of you will probably say, no, it's fine, I'll just drive the old one I've got because I don't want to give everything up for that. But if I said that there was a cure for an illness that a loved one of yours had, and if you could give up everything you had to get a hold of that cure, I'm sure most of us would go to whatever extent we could to care for a loved one and to do that. There are some things that we will give up everything for. And our own salvation, our relationship with the living God, ought to be one of them. If the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the one who made you, if he calls out to you and says, right now, because you're not following me and because you're not trusting me, you're my enemy. But you know what? You can be my friend. And I can have a relationship with you. And I can show you how much I love you. And I can forgive you for everything that you have ever done. And you need not fear death, because even when death comes, you will come into my kingdom and you will be with me forever. And I will rule and I will reign over your life, and I will lead you and guide you every step of the way. And I promise to never ever leave you or forsake you, but always to be with you. It's one of those things you would give up anything for, isn't it? You would give up everything for that. Because there just doesn't sound like there's anything better. You would give up it all for that. Because that is exactly what the gospel says. The gospel is this most incredibly valuable thing, and the truth is that so often, whether you've heard it for the first time today or whether you're hearing this for the 5,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, we have a tendency to sit and go, I suppose it sounds all right, that Jesus thing. I'll think about that again tomorrow. And we just kind of park it at the side of, it sounds all right. Can take it or leave it. But you need to try and get a grasp in your mind of just how incredible the gospel is. Just how incredible when the God of the universe, the one person who sees every part of your life, nothing can be hidden from him. Nothing can be shrouded from him. He can see everything that you do, everything that you say, and he even knows, and I'm so grateful for grace, everything that I think. And he sees all of that, and he knows all of that, and yet he says, I love you, and I want you to come to me. And Jesus spoke umpteen times to disciples, and they said, come to me, come to me, come to me. Follow me, follow me, follow me. This God who knows all of that about you and about your life says, come to me and follow me today. Now, the sheer fact that that God would want anything to do with me when he knows all about me is a miracle in itself. That in itself is of great value. But this God doesn't just say, come to me and follow me because he's trying to get a wee band of folks behind him. Because he needs us to be there, because if he's got a few people behind him, then he looks good as a God. No, this is a God who says, I want you to follow me because I love you, because I made you to follow me. I made you to worship me. I made you to live this way. And to be this person following after me. And he says, follow me. Because I want to give you life. I want to give you hope. I want to give you joy and satisfaction and forgiveness. The gospel is of infinite worth. And I commend you today, if you're not following Jesus, to follow him today. To follow him. Did you know there is a cost in receiving the gospel? A cost, first of all, that has been borne by our Lord Jesus on the cross. Because it is impossible for us to follow him without Jesus dying on the cross. It is impossible for us to follow God without Jesus shedding his blood, forgiving our sins, taking our sins upon himself so that we can be forgiven. Because you see, what happens is you've got a holy God and you've got us lot, right? And if you think us lot compare anywhere close to a holy God, then you've got a bit of an over-inflated sense of yourself, right? We don't come anywhere close to matching it, right? We've got this holy God who does everything perfectly, and then we've got us lot, right, down here on earth, just, you know, doing our bit, which isn't very good. But that sin that we have separates us from that holy God. And Jesus takes that on himself. He dies when we should have died, and he pays the price that we might inherit this incredible gospel, this thing of great value. And Jesus pays all of that price, and he says, follow me. But that call to follow me is not a call with no cost in itself either. Because that call to follow me is not a call that says, oh, come and follow me and just do whatever you like. That call to follow him is a call to live for him and to honor him in our lives. Look at what the men do in verse 45 and 46 when they find these things. The man goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field, and he sells all that he has to buy the pearl of great value. They sell up all they've got. They sell it all. They give it all up. And Jesus, when he calls us to follow him, says, leave behind your old life. Leave behind that life that is offering you no joy and no satisfaction and no peace and gives you no security beyond death. Leave all of that behind and come into new life with me and walk with me and trust me and follow me. We come to him by faith. And you know, the truth is, you might be here this morning and you might be in that situation where you once believed this and you once followed this. But you kind of thought to yourself, do you know what? I'm just going to go and do my own thing for a while because this following Jesus just has too much of a cost to it. I'm just not willing to leave behind all the stuff that I used to do. I'm just not willing to leave behind that old life. Well, I thank God that you're still here today, and I thank God you're hearing the gospel today, because Jesus says, follow me today. He says, follow me today, and don't turn back to that life, but instead walk with me all your days so that you might inherit the most incredible kingdom, and that you might be a co-heir with Christ. Do you know, as we see the value of the kingdom and the cost of receiving the gospel, there is also a cost in rejecting the gospel. There's a cost in rejecting the gospel because in the final of the three parables, Jesus describes the kingdom as a net. And nets are used for gathering stuff. That's what we use nets for, isn't it? If you take the kids down to the beach and they've got their net and they're, you know, putting it in the water trying to catch any wee little fish they can catch or get a wee crab in there or something. We use nets for gathering stuff. Liverpool Football Club's net last night was used for gathering Real Madrid's goals. That was pretty much how that one ended up. But, you know, it was used for gathering stuff. It's what they're used for. And he goes on and he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It is for gathering things. But he tells us that in the gathering, we will bring many people who lay down their life and who give everything to accept the gospel, but there are also those who will not accept Jesus as their greatest satisfaction. There are also those who will reject the Lord Jesus. There are those who will say that, I've heard the gospel, but you know what? I don't think it's that valuable. Actually, I want to live for other things. Actually, I want my life to be defined by a worship of other things and of a gathering of other things. I want to live for myself, for my own desires. I want to live for my career or for building up as much wealth as I can. I'm doing a little series in my home church in East Kilbride in Ecclesiastes at the moment. If you want to see the value in these things that we accumulate and the pleasures that we seek after, read the opening chapters of Ecclesiastes. It tells us that it is all worthless. All of that stuff that we do, all the stuff that we accumulate in our homes, in our cars, all the stuff that we do in our families, even though we love our families and they're precious to us from God, in our careers, all these things are like a breath. They are there one moment and then they are gone. And the gospel calls us to invest in something greater, in something far more valuable. Because the truth is, it tells us here, and Jesus speaks it himself, that as that separation happens at the end of the age, and as those who are separated, the evil from the righteous, and remember that when the Bible talks about the righteous people, it is not talking about, you know, the holier than holy people, the ones who've, you know, managed to, you know, drink their tea with their pinky sticking up over their whole life and managed to, you know, kind of live this perfectly polished life outwardly. It's talking about those who've accepted Jesus and Jesus' righteousness has been given to them. Because I don't know about you, but see if I've got to stand before Jesus and try and make my case for my own righteousness. Man, you know, I can talk about your experience in this just now, right? But there's no getting out of that one. There's no negotiating skills or bargaining skills or a good bit of waffle that I can share with God to try and show that I'm justified, to show that I'm a good person. Can't do any of that. I have no ability to show that I am a righteous person on my own because I am completely and utterly unrighteous and unworthy. But in Christ, he gives me his righteousness, and it is placed upon me not as something as I have earned, but as something that I have been given. And God looks at me and he sees the righteousness of Christ and he counts me as righteous. And if you believe in Jesus and are following after him, he counts you as righteous too. In that great separation, evil from righteous, those who have rejected God and those who have accepted God, those who have decided that Jesus is their Savior and those who have decided they don't want anything to do with Jesus. As that great separation goes on, it tells us that there is a great cost for those who reject him. There is a separation that will exist for all eternity as those people are cast into destruction. As they go into hell, which by definition is a place where God's presence does not exist at all. It is so painfully and so sadly the ultimate end for anyone who says in this life, I want nothing to do with Jesus, is that at the end of the age, they actually get their wish and they spend all eternity without Jesus. And that is painful. And that is destructive. And that is not at all what myself or anybody else would want for anyone else. And so it is why we share the gospel with such passion. It is why we share the gospel with such zeal. Because we won't want to see anyone finding themselves in that situation where they have rejected the Lord Jesus. But instead, call on you today to receive him. To receive him and to follow after him. To live for him and to receive that kingdom of great value. As we finish off, Jesus said in the verses round about what we've read, he repeatedly comes across the same kind of things. In chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, he said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Then in verse 43, he says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." And then in verse 51, as he finishes these little parables we've looked at today, Jesus says, "Have you understood all these things?" Your answer might be the same answer as mine. "Oh, I've heard it. I've heard it loads and loads of times." But your answer might also be like it was when I was a teenager and just started going to that youth group. "Oh, I've heard it. I've heard it loads and loads of times, but I've never really heard it for all it's worth. I've heard it and I've discounted it. I've heard it and I've rejected it. I've heard it and I've decided that I'm going to do my own thing." Well, I want to ask you today, if that's you, to put on different ears for a moment and to really hear it. My little boy, with this I'll finish. My little boy's four, and he does what all little boys do. He hears things and doesn't hear things. You know that way you're saying to him, "Right, James, it's time to stop playing and get ready for your bath." I know he's heard me. His ears work perfectly well. But does he stop playing and get ready for his bath? No. He carries on playing away and doing his thing because he's heard me. But he's not really heard me. And I'll say to him, "James, what did I say?" He'll look at me and he'll say, "You said I have to stop playing and I have to get ready for my bath." "Yes." And then the nursery have invented a brilliant thing. It's called listening ears. Now, I don't know, I thought all ears were listening ears, but clearly not, right? So they'll say, "Right, boys and girls, it's time to put on your listening ears." And the boys and girls, that means we've really got to listen and do what we're told. So you'll turn around and you'll go, "Daddy, do I need to put on my listening ears?" I'm like, "Yes, you do." We can hear stuff so often. And we hear it, but it just doesn't transfer from here to here. It doesn't go from our head to our hearts. It doesn't turn into something that we believe and something that we follow. We hear stuff. But yet so often, we just let it literally go in one ear and out the other. That's what we usually say to kids, isn't it? Don't do that with the gospel. It's fine for my boy to do that when he's getting ready for bath. It drives me mental, but it's fine. But don't do that with the gospel. The gospel is far too important. It's far too valuable. It's far too great. It's far too life-giving. It's far too sin-forgiving. It's far too amazing and far too good for you just to think, "Oh, I've heard this. I don't want to hear it again." Please today hear it. And ask God to help you to take that gospel that you've heard today from here to here. That you might accept it into your heart, that you might follow him, and that you might live for him, and that you might truly realize that this is the most priceless, most incredible thing in the whole world. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your gospel is of infinite worth. You have taken me, and you've taken so many of us here this morning, as those who were once enemies of yours, those who wanted nothing to do with you. And you've brought us into your family and you've forgiven us for all the things that we've done. And you've not just brought us in as second-class citizens, but you've brought us in and you've called us sons and you've called us daughters and you've adopted us. And you're our Father and you have shown us how good you are. You've poured out your love to us. You've shown us your grace. You've forgiven us when nobody else would forgive us. Father, you've forgiven us when we wouldn't forgive ourselves. Father, you've loved us when nobody else would love us. You've loved us when we just couldn't and can't love ourselves. And you've lifted us out of the pit that we were in, and you've raised us up. And you have given us the righteousness of your Son. Father, thank you for that gospel. And I pray, Father, I pray for anyone that is here this morning that has not accepted that gospel. No matter how many times they've heard it before, Father, would you give them ears to hear this morning? And would you help them to take that gospel from their head to their heart? And Father, by your Spirit, would you be speaking to them right in this moment, right now? Would you speak those words that Jesus said so often, follow me, follow me, follow me. And Father, would you give that person this morning your grace and your love, and would you help them to make that decision just now to follow you again and to run after you and to accept your grace and accept your forgiveness and accept your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know, as we close this morning, if that is the situation you find yourself in, and you're sitting thinking this morning, I want to talk to somebody more about that. I want to find out more about that. Then please talk to myself, but talk to each other. Talk to somebody you know here. People would love to share that with you, love to draw alongside you, and love to share that gospel with you this morning. Please do that before you go away today. It has been good to be here this morning and back this afternoon. Looking forward to being back with you. God bless.